The opinions expressed in this podcast are individual and are not necessarily representative of Spirit Live or Toronto Metropolitan University. Thanks for listening to the Too Many Men podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the very first edition of the Too Many Men podcast. I'm your host, Matthew Vez, alongside Joshua Safe, and we're very happy to have you during what has been such an exciting season for hockey.
So join us every other Sunday for premium hockey content that goes beyond the headlines. So we'll be analyzing all of the latest news and stories through a lens you won't find anywhere else by digging into hidden stats and trends. Our goal is to answer the why behind everything in the hockey world.
Now, for both Josh and I, this is our second time working together on Spirit Live. You may remember us from the Fanalyze podcast that ran about a year ago, but now we're back with a new goal, a new setup, and a new theme. So, Josh, what are we talking about?
Well, I mean, this is just such an exciting time in hockey right now. We've obviously got the NHL on pause for Olympic hockey, finally back with NHL players. We've obviously been watching a lot of that, so we'll be talking about some clutch plays of the week that we've seen in Olympic hockey, and then we'll move on to our top five trade list from the New York Times.
Now, with that being said, we have a lot of ideas that we'd like to bring to life over the next few weeks, and we hope to work with some guest commentary into our future episodes. But we'd also love to hear from you. So as mentioned, whether it's questions, opinions, or content that you'd like to be featured on the podcast, you can send us an email through our Spirit Live website where you're listening right now, or DM us on Instagram at Too Many Men Pod. Now, before we head into the breakdowns and in-depth analysis that we're all here for, we would be remiss if we didn't touch on the ongoing Olympic Games. So we'd like to introduce you to one of our new segments, Clutch Play of the Week.
Now, our winner for the Clutch Play of the Week is none other than Captain Clutch, Marie-Philippe Poulin's game winner in the semis against the Swiss. Captain Clutch does it again, scoring both of Canada's goals in their matchup to take home the W 2-1. So MPP in only her second game back from injury, right? She's still got to be feeling it. You know, some people were saying that Canada should probably rest her until even the gold medal game against the States, right? Everybody's thinking it's going to be Canada against America no matter what, so might as well give her the rest. They're saying that they didn't really need her in the lineup, but Marie-Philippe Poulin pushed for her return, and it's a good thing that she did, because you know, without her in the lineup, who knows what happens. She scored both and the only goals for Canada in that game. And it's very possible that without her in the lineup, we see Canada fail to reach the gold medal game for the first time ever in women's Olympic history. So this is her fifth Olympics, and she has won gold with Canada three times, and all three times she's been the one to score the game-winning goal to clinch victory for her country. Right, I couldn't have written this script better myself for MPP. The return to the lineup after injury, and then obviously her doing what she does best and living up to her name as Captain Clutch.
All right, now we'll head over to our next segment, the brass section.
So our first player on the trade board is Vincent Trocheck. What a player we see in him. So right now he's got 12 goals, 26 points in 43 games. Not lighting up the score sheet like you would like to see from him. And he's a minus 16, so having a little bit of a down year. This season isn't indicative of what he can give you, right? So he's a pretty decent playoff performer with 37 points in 56 games played in the playoffs, including 20 points in 16 games in the Rangers' last playoff run, which was back in 23-24. So last year, he also had the fourth most faceoffs and the third highest percentage with a 59.3% with a minimum of 3.5 faceoffs per game. And people like always undervalue the skill of the faceoff. But if I'm looking to trade this guy to a playoff contender, if I'm a playoff contender, I want him on my team because in the dying moments of a game, maybe you're down a goal, you're in the offensive zone for a face-off, this guy is almost batting like 60% on his face-offs. Chances are he's going to win that, and, you know, give you a chance to get right back in that game. It's a very useful and clutch skill to have, especially for the playoffs. Now, this year, he's still very good in that department. He's still top 20 in the league so far with a 56.5% win rate. But he's missed 14 games due to an upper back injury. So hopefully, as he comes back, he gets back in his groove and gets closer to that 60% mark that we're used to seeing him at. Now, for me, the perfect fit for Vincent Trocheck is the Minnesota Wild. Now, for as long as I can remember, the Wild have lacked real center depth, right? Their only real good option right now is probably Joel Eriksson-Ek. And their next guys up are Vinny Hinostroza, Nico Sturm, and Yakov Trenin. And you're like, that's who I have on the second line is probably Vinny Hinostroza. I don't really want that guy up on my second line. So if you bring in Trocheck, whether you have him on the first or second line, it gives you just more depth at the center position. Not only that, but he provides great veteran leadership as well as the skill they so desperately need in their top six for centers. Now, the Wild currently sit second in their division and fourth overall in the league. So if there's any time for them to really go for it, the time is now. Because with the way their team looks right now, especially down the middle, they are not getting past the Colorado Avalanche, who seem to be the team to beat this year in the league. So Trocheck would be a great add for this Minnesota Wild team. And a possible trade, what could it look like for the Minnesota Wild to bring in Vincent Trocheck? You've got a guy like Charlie Strommel, who was the Wild 2023 first round pick, who has 38 points in 28 games with Michigan State, and Adam Benek, who was the Wild's 2025 fourth round pick with 58 points in 35 games with the Brantford Bulldogs. So two good prospects who haven't really found their way up to the Minnesota Wild starting lineup. So hopefully they can find their way on to New York, because they're both good young studs. And the way that New York is going right now, they need to get younger. These guys seem to have fit the timeline for the Rangers right now.
All right. So number two on the New York Times trade list is Calgary Flames winger Blake Coleman at 34 years old. He's in the last year of a 6-year deal with a $4.9 million AAV. And of course, he's most well known for his back-to-back cups with the Tampa Bay Lightning in the 1920 and 2021 seasons. Now, so far this season, he's played 44 games. He's got 13 goals, 8 assists for 21 points. He's a plus-minus of plus 10, and he averages 17 minutes of ice time a night. Now, he's a versatile middle six forward and a left-handed winger, but he has been out with an upper body injury since January the 8th, and he's scheduled to only return after the Olympics. Now, the Flames in that time have found themselves seventh in the Pacific Division, and their roster fire sale has really already started with Rasmus Anderson, and it's expected to continue with players like Coleman or even Nazem Kadri. Now, in terms of the media coverage of this trade, Elliot Friedman said that he does believe that Blake Coleman is willing to move, and he's got a 10-team trade list. Calgary have told him that if one of those teams comes along with an offer that they can't say no to, they'll pull the trigger and ship him out of town. So what are some of those teams? Well, first, there's the Boston Bruins. They're in the playoff race after a red-hot start to the first half of the season. And this move really comes down to the Bruins' approach, given their surprising position in the standings. I don't think a lot of fans would have thought they'd be in the playoff picture as of October. Now, they do need to take some pressure off of David Pastrnak. He won't fix that, but he will certainly help as a depth wing option. And as a rental with winning experience, his high-effort two-way play has made him what a lot of people have called a Bruins type of player for a number of years. Now, the Bees wouldn't have to mortgage their future either to pull off this move. And while they would need to work out their cap situation, it is manageable for a rental player. Next is the Carolina Hurricanes, another team looking for a playoff pedigree middle six depth option. The East is wide open this year. Anyone can really come out of it, despite the fact that the Hurricanes and Lightning sit at the top. Now, Carolina does have $8 million in cap space, which gives them an advantage over many of the other contenders in the conference. This is a player that can contribute to the gritty identity needed and could make a move that steals away a target player from some of their other rivals, including a team like the Tampa Bay Lightning, who are a really attractive option for Blake Coleman, being his old home. Now, rumors started when Pierre LeBrun floated the idea of a reunion, and his confidence in the ability of Julien Brisebois, the Lightning GM, to get crafty with with their cap situation. But a whole lot of this hype is built on the idea of the reunion and the fond memories that Lightning fans have with the player. And their familiarity, I think, will help their case in going after a player despite his lingering injury. I think because Tampa Bay knows what they can get out of Blake Coleman, they might not be worried the way some other teams are. But the destination I have chosen for Blake Coleman is the Dallas Stars. Now, another competitive team in the top flight of the Western Conference. His depth scoring would aid talent like Rantanen, Robertson, and Johnson on the team. He doesn't need to go there and be a big star. Now, he's on a 25-goal pace, so if he hits the ground running, that would really satisfy the Stars front office. Now, I think this works for Coleman because it's his hometown team. He grew up just 40 minutes outside of Dallas. Dallas are in their contention window, so it's an attractive spot for a veteran player. And he is nearing the end of his career, so being in a comfortable environment, I'm sure, would help sway him. Now, for Dallas, it works because he's a playoff-proven scorer, and he's great at forechecking and works well with young talent. As we've seen in Calgary, Connor Zary and Matthew Coronato really benefited when they were on a line with Coleman. And he just fits the profile of a team and players that Jim Neal typically has on his radar based on historical moves. Now, the final trade I'm proposing here is Dallas receiving Blake Coleman with Calgary retaining 50% of his contract. And in return, Calgary will receive Emil Hemming, which is the Flames' number two prospect, and a 2026 second round pick to sweeten the pot. Now, number three on the list is a player that may very well not be moved, but it's an exciting idea, Shane Wright. The 2022 fourth overall pick for the Seattle Kraken. Of course, we all remember his rather surprising draft fall when a lot of people thought Montreal was going to take him number one overall. But this season, he's played in 56 games. He's got 22 points. He's averaging 13, basically 14 minutes of time on ice. Now, he is a two-way forward and a right-handed center. He's in the second year of his ELC, so he's still a very affordable option. He's 22 years old, and he still has really high upside. Seattle is likely looking for similar upside in return if they are going to move on from a guy like him. Now, Elliot Friedman said that Seattle is looking to add a top six winger in his place and someone that would act as a dynamic scorer. So that's something we'll keep in mind. Now, he currently slots in at the 3C behind Beniers and Stevenson, and he does play on Seattle's power play too. But the Kraken do still have Berkeley Catton in their organization, who played 40 games this season before being placed on IR. And as their eighth overall pick in 2024, they still have young center depth for the organization to carry forward. But these are the three teams that I've rumored him going to and collected information on. Initially, we have the Philadelphia Flyers, who were favored to land Shane Wright along with the New York Rangers. It was believed that if Panarin was willing to move to Seattle, the Rangers could acquire Wright in a return package. As for the Flyers, it seems like creating a logjam at the center position for an underperforming player doesn't seem like a large enough improvement for Philly to pay a premium to beat out other teams. So I have Shane Wright going to the Vancouver Canucks. Now, this is mostly based on the idea of needing a top six dynamic scoring winger. And I think that could very well be Brock Besser. He's 28 years old. And in the one season of his career that he's played 81 games, he had a career high 73 points. So his production is definitely there. He's making $7.25 million a year, which is solid market value in today's NHL for a top six winger. Now, this would be the second largest contract if he did end up in Seattle, but it would align with Beniers' prime. Now, the Kraken could take a shot at a weaker Western Conference this year, specifically in the Pacific Division. And where this trade gets really attractive for Kraken fans is the idea that Brock Besser is a known Oiler killer. He's got 34 points in 36 games against the team. And if they're going to meet them in the playoffs, and down the stretch, why not add him to your top six? Now, this move works for Shane Wright because it's a fresh start. There's a possible future core role, the cap space works, and there'd be no problem to re-sign him. And I honestly would liken a deal like this a lot to Kirby Dach moving to Montreal. He had a career high in all of his stats his first season in Montreal. He was a top draft pick, and I think for Shane Wright finding a new situation, a new fan base to get behind him, he could have that rejuvenation. And if he avoids the injuries like Kirby Dach has had, who knows what his ceiling could be in Vancouver. This also works for the Canucks because they have four picks in the first two rounds next year to boost and rebuild their team. Now, Patrick Alvin also likes young centers. He's traded for Marco Rossi, Hedl in both the Hughes and the Miller trades. So the final trade I'm proposing is Shane Wright and a 2026 second round pick to Vancouver in exchange for Brock Besser and a 2027 third-round pick. Now, the last player I'll cover is number four on the list, Robert Thomas. Now, this one is really exciting. A 26-year-old right-shot center who won the Cup his rookie season with the Blues in 2019. 42 games played this year, 33 points. Except the Blues are last in the Central and second last in the Western Conference. So they're expected to be sellers at the deadline. They've been plagued with second period collapses, poor power play, inconsistent goaltending, and a lack of a star scorer after pushing the Jets to the brink in last year's playoffs. Now he's in year three of an 8-year, $8.125 million AAV. However, the issue for St. Louis here is guess what got triggered at the start of this year? A full no-trade clause that lasts up until year eight of the contract. Now, Elliot Friedman has reported that the Blues are interested, but it either has to be a huge package that makes them say, we can't say no to the offer, or the other thing that he said he'd heard is that they're looking for a stud top six forward who's slightly younger than Robert Thomas. And another important thing to mention is Nick Kiprios also reported that the asking price from St. Louis is equivalent to three top 15 draft picks. So I've built out some rumors here. Number one is an Eastern Conference contender, the Buffalo Sabres, who are finally entering a competitive window and would be an ideal landing spot for Thomas. He's exactly the type of player who could help push them towards the playoffs. And in the logjam that is the Atlantic Division, impact players will be a hot commodity at the trade deadline. And that's exactly what Thomas is, someone who can be effective right away. He's an easy top six forward upgrade that would help solidify Buffalo's offense and increase their number of scoring chances. He'd be a long-term solution in Buffalo too, and they do have the cap flexibility to make this move. Now we'll also go back to the Carolina Hurricanes. Once again, the Metro's best. An impact player for them could help them create separation between teams like both Detroit and Montreal in the East. Now, while Logan Stankoven currently holds the team's 2C position, the acquisition of Robert Thomas could see him move to the wing to rediscover some of his offensive production. Thomas represents both a win now and a future option for their team. They have the cap space required to make this move work, but they do lack draft picks besides their first rounder this year to go out and round out a deal. Now, the last two teams to quickly cover are the Kings and the Wild. The Kings were mostly in the picture pre-Panarin trade, and while they present a good fit for a player like Thomas, it seems unlikely that they'll be big spenders at this deadline. And of course, Minnesota would be another attractive option, just like Vincent Trocheck. Robert Thomas would fit there very well in their top six, especially after the departure of Marco Rossi. But their largest asset, Jesper Wallstedt, may be the starting point that St. Louis would try and build a trade off of. And that shifts the entire idea to Minnesota's willingness to trade a potential multi-year starting goalie with franchise potential to an in-division rival. So the destination I've picked for Robert Thomas is the Detroit Red Wings. He would be a younger playmaker to complement Patrick Kane, Larkin, and DeBrincat, who also represent some very enticing winger options for Thomas to center and up his offensive numbers. And if Thomas can come in at the 20 to 25 goal range, the Wings' top six offense could be roaring come playoff time. The Wings also have a lot of cap space, and they're projected being 12-plus next year. Thomas's contract would be no issue. So this works for Thomas because they're an Eastern Conference contender. It's a good situation for him to waive his clause. Now, it works for Detroit because he'd be a second center line upgrade, and his age aligns with Lucas Raymond, Moritz Seider, Dylan Larkin, and Alex DeBrincat. Now, Yzerman and Armstrong, the team's two GMs, are also good trade partners, and they could work out a deal for both sides, which is helpful considering that the trade market Thomas could have will be very large. Now, Nick Leddy, Jake Walman, Ville Husso, Jakob Vrana, Robbie Fabry, these are all deals made between the two teams recently. Additionally, they also have 9 picks in the 2026 draft, including a first, second, and third round pick, and the Wings have the 5th-ranked prospect pool by the Hockey Writers, meaning a big package deal is well within their ability. So if we're going based off of the equivalent to 3 top 15 draft picks, I think that will actually put off a lot of teams. Not a lot of teams, especially in the Atlantic, where there's going to be a lot of competition and high prices for players, this may be too steep for some teams. That also may mean that St. Louis has to lower that asking price a bit. But I think a team like Detroit, who seems to have really good relations with St. Louis, will propose a trade like this, and it could work. Detroit gets just Robert Thomas, one and done, while St. Louis receives Carter Bear, Nate Danielson, and a 2026 first-round pick. Bear being their 13th overall pick in 2025 and Danielson being their 9th overall pick in 2023. Now, there would be the possibility of adding a late round pick here for balance on Detroit's side, but according to the asking price and the need for Thomas's approval in waiving his no trade clause, this framework checks all the boxes while Detroit doesn't have to mortgage their whole future with Max Plant and Trey Augustine still in the system while also protecting players like Marco Kasper and Sandin Plekia.
And finally, the last player on this list that we have is Dougie Hamilton. What a player. Obviously, very good player. Not so much this year. He has 21 points in 52 games so far with the Devils. A career high with the Devils in 2022-23 with 74 points. He's very solid defensively, and as this proves, he still has some pretty solid offensive upside. He's a top pairing defenseman on most, if not all, teams. He'll get you over 20 minutes on most nights. The only thing that he has against him right now is he's on year 5 of 7 of a $9 million contract. So this contract will end when he's 35. He's not super cheap. He's not getting any younger. But in my opinion, he's still worth most, if not all, of those pennies. The thing that I love most about him is that he's 6'6 and 230 pounds. And that's not it. Even more than just his size, he's a right-handed shot. You didn't see that very often in the NHL anymore, it seems. There seems to be some kind of shortage of right-handed defenders in this league, and he might be one of the better ones out there, especially when it comes to his defensive game. So this makes him a very attractive piece to a lot of teams. Now, just like Trocheck, he can play in all situations. Wherever you need him, he averages a minute 21 shorthanded and 2 minutes and 5 seconds on the power play each game. My only worry is that he is a little bit injury prone. He hasn't played a full season since the 2022-23 season, back when he had those 74 points in 82 games. But when he is healthy, he's one of the premier defensemen in the league. So I have a couple of good fits for Dougie Hamilton. First, I have maybe a potential return to Carolina. Now, he played 3 seasons there, and it's not like he was traded because things ended on bad terms. He has a pretty good relationship in Carolina, and the fans loved him there. But I don't see him making his return to Carolina, because my team that I see him going to, call me a salty Leafs fan, but I see him going to the Leafs. And I say salty Leafs fan because Hamilton was originally drafted with the 9th overall pick back in 2011 to the Boston Bruins. But that pick originally belonged to the Toronto Maple Leafs. So the Leafs desperately need a right-handed defenseman. And they're also dealing with just a Christmas list of injuries when it comes to their defenders this season, currently including their best defender in Morgan Rielly. This trade, I don't think, could come at a better time for the Leafs. However, the trade would require some pretty heavy salary retention on the Devils' side, as the Leafs' current deadline cap space is only $5.08 million, which is a good chunk of money. But obviously, as I mentioned before, Dougie Hamilton currently carries that $9 million cap hit. So simply not something the Leafs could currently swallow. So the Devils would have to retain some salary. So as a little trade scenario here, I have the Leafs receiving Dougie Hamilton and a 2026 second round pick. And in return, the Leafs are not going to give up a first-round pick this time, but they are going to give up Nick Robertson and a 2026 fifth-round pick.
Well, there you have it. Vincent Trocheck from the Rangers to the Wild, Blake Coleman from the Flames to the Stars, Shane Wright from the Kraken to the Canucks, Robert Thomas from the Blues to the Red Wings, and Dougie Hamilton from the Devils to the Maple Leafs. Now, the next time you'll hear from us, the Olympics will be wrapped up. The NHL will have resumed play for just over a week, so we'll have lots more to talk about, especially as the trade deadline approaches, and we're not just speculating, but actually reporting on the big trades that go down and explaining why the moves were made, and who's benefiting from them. Obviously, as we mentioned, please reach out, email, DM us, let us know what you think, debate some of our opinions, give us content to be featured. We would love to hear from you. We'll see you guys next time.